Will you turn with me in the book to the book of Genesis, chapter 27? And I'm going to read a rather lengthy passage, the first 29 verses of this chapter. Genesis 27, beginning at verse 1. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son?" "Here I am," he answered. And Isaac said, "I am now an old man, and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left the open country, for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." And his mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. She also covered his hands with the smooth part and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skin. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father?" "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." And Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "And the Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." And Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau, so he blessed him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." And Jacob brought it to him. He ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him, and when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. My God, give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. Father, thank you for the word. Speak to our hearts through it, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All of us are acquainted with the love story that appears in chapter 24 of the book of Genesis, where Abraham designates possibly Eliezer to go down to Padan Aram and find a wife for Isaac. He was not desirous that Isaac should be married to any of the Canaanite women, but rather to a woman of his own family. And then you'll remember the very touching story, or the end of the story, when Eliezer approaches the encampment of Isaac, and Rebekah says to Eliezer, "Who is that young man in the field?" And Eliezer says, "That's Isaac." Here's a woman going to marry a man. She only knows his name. She's never met him. She doesn't know whether he's a handsome man or whether he's the ugliest man that ever lived. And Isaac takes Rebekah into his brother's tent and marries her. As time goes on, as every couple desires, they desire children. But the word tells us that Rebekah was barren. And Isaac prays for his wife, and she becomes pregnant, not only with one child, but with two children. And Rebekah, after she feels them jostled within her womb, says, "Lord, why am I thus?" And the Lord says, "There are two nations that are in your womb. And the older shall serve the younger." And we have the birth of these twins. Esau is born first, reddish, hairish, followed by his brother Jacob. And the word specifically tells us that as Jacob comes out of the womb, he has a grasp on his brother's heel. Esau is named, the firstborn is named Esau because he's red. And the secondborn, Jacob, is known as Jacob because he is a deceiver. He is a grasper of the heel. Deception is a human trait. We find it in his mother, we've just read. We find it in his uncle, which we'll deal with this evening. We find it in his children. And we find it in you. If you look at yourself, you see a grasper of the heel,
a deceiver. But as the, I believe it is Aesop in his fables says, the mills of the gods grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. And Jacob has to admit at the end of his life when Pharaoh says, and how old are you? Jacob says, my days have been full of trouble and sorrow. I had a friend whose son's wife bore him a set of twins. And I said to Mildred, I often thought, I being the youngest of five, with probably the least income, the Lord would give us twins. And Mildred says, you don't know what you're asking for. She actually says, you got a hole in your head. For, she said, anyone who has a set of twins ought to have live-in help. That's the picture that we have before us. Two young tots, two young boys around the household, growing up, and if you're a twin, you know what I'm talking about. Some of the experiences that I've learned of twins makes twins scary. And one day, Esau is out doing that which he likes to do, hunt game, comes in famished, thirsty. And Jacob, I believe by design, is stirring up a pot of lentil soup. And Esau says, give me some of that soup before I die. And Jacob says, yes, you may have a bowl of lentil soup if you give me your birth. And Esau said, what good is a birthright if I'm going to die? And I like to believe that Jacob, with gleam in his eyes, dips out a bowl of lentil soup for Esau and says, I've got it made. I've got it made. The deceiving heart of Jacob. Then, in the passage that we've read to you this morning, Isaac says to Esau, make me a delicious meal like you used to do. And Esau says, yes, Father, I will do so. But the deceiving ear of Rebekah hears what is going on. Esau is going to prepare the meal. Isaac is going to eat it. And then Isaac is going to bless Esau. Immediately we see the tension that's in the home. Isaac loves Esau. Rebekah loves Jacob. And Rebekah says, you go out and find two nice goats and kill them, and I'll prepare a meal that you'll take in to your father. He will eat it, and he will bless you. And Jacob says, I can't do that. Esau is hairy, and I'm a smooth man. Rebekah says, I've got it all worked out. You dress like Esau. You put the hair of the goats on your arm and on the smoothness of your neck, and you pretend to be Esau. And Jacob does this. Rebecca prepares the meal, and Jacob takes the meal of tasting goat meat and wine and bread and takes it into his father, and he says, "Father, it's Esau. Arise and eat." And did you notice in our reading, Esau says, "You've come so soon?" And Jacob says, "The Lord your God has prospered me." What does that say concerning Jacob's heart? His heart is deceptive. The heart of man is deceitful. Who can know it? And Isaac says, "Let me feel your arms. Let me feel the smoothness of your neck." For he says, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the feel is the hairiness of Esau." Rebecca deceives Jacob into deceiving his father. And Jacob receives the blessing. There's tension in the home. Esau says to his father, "Don't you have another blessing in your heart for me?" And Isaac says, "No. I've given everything to Jacob. I've even made him a ruler over you." Yes, even the younger shall rule the older. There's tension in the home due to parental favoritism. This wasn't a good marriage. Esau is angry with Jacob. Esau is waiting for his father's death so that he can kill Jacob, that he can be the oldest of the family once again and know the birthright that belongs to him. Jacob is sent to his uncle Laban till everything cools down a bit. The excuse, the pretense, is given so that Jacob will not marry a Canaanitish woman. And because Esau sees that Isaac is not pleased with Esau's marriage, he's taken two wives unto himself of the Canaanitish women. Esau goes over to Ishmael and finds a third wife. And Rebekah says to Jacob, "You better leave. You better go down and see my brother Laban. You better stay with him until Esau's temper has cooled down." But really, Jacob is running away because of his sin. And as he travels, he comes to the village of Luz. And here he makes his encampment for the night. He places his head upon a rock and sleeps and has a dream. And there he dreams that he sees a stairway that leads from earth to heaven. Now carefully read your Bible, for the Word says, and he saw angels ascending as well as descending on that stairway. What does that say to us? There's angels here upon earth. I'm inclined to believe, because I've experienced it, that each one of us have a guardian angel. The Lord says, I will take care of you wherever you go. And Jacob awakens from the dream, and he says, this is the very presence of God, and I knew it not. I thought, as I was meditating upon this thought, Jacob says, if I knew you were going to be there, God, I'd have used another motel down the street. This is the presence of God. Here's a man in his deception. He's in the presence of God, and he didn't want to be there. This is the very presence of God, and I knew it not. The Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. It's interesting. Even though Jacob did not want to be in the presence of God, he bargained with God. Do you bargain with God? Lord, if you make me well, I'll be at the chapel every time the doors are open. Lord, if you make me well, if you make me able to walk again, I'll serve you. Listen to Jacob's bargaining with God. If you will be with me in my travels, if you will watch over me in my travels, if you will give me food and clothing, if you will return me safely, then the Lord will be my God. And Luz will be Bethel, the house of God. And I will give you a tithe of all that you give to me. It's a pretty good bargain, isn't it? We read that God took care of Jacob. He will be gone for 20 years. God was with him. God provided for him. God gave him food. God gave him clothing. Well, we never read that Jacob ever gave him a tithe. It's a pretty good bargain, isn't it? 90 cents for a dime. The Lord took care of him. Now, there's some observations I'd like to make concerning this story. Man is no different today than in Jacob's day. The heart of man is evil continually. The heart of man is deceptive. And God doesn't just give us the rosy side of things. He tells us the gruesome details that we don't like to hear. You have a very strong illustration of this when God gives all the details concerning David's adultery and murdering of his soldier friend. Yes, God says we're deceptive. We're deceived. And we deceive others. Thirdly, rather, let me illustrate further. This is the attitude of men today, and of women as well. I'll get what I want, when I want it, the way I want it, even if I have to lie about it. Even if I have to deceive someone, cheat, for you know the end justifies the means. And it's the evil man that prospers. That's what Asaph describes in Psalm 73, where Asaph says, my neighbor is better off than I am. I'm a child of God. He's an evil man. And Lord, I've washed my hands in innocency. He prospers. I don't. And Asaph says, I didn't understand until I walked into the sanctuary and I realized that my neighbor's feet are on slippery places. Thirdly, the third observation. We can't excuse Jacob because God intended Jacob to have the blessing. Jacob was wrong. Even though God had told Rebekah that the younger shall serve the older. Even though Paul takes up on this particular theme in Romans 9 when he says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Ah, yes. That's a deep story. But let me say this. Let God be God. And God makes His choices. And the choices that He's made before the foundation of the world. The choice to elect you into the family of God. And to elect me into the family of God. Fourthly, and I'd like to raise a question with you. Was Jacob's love experience salvation? Was it conversion? I do not think so. For the successive story of Jacob shows us his deceptive heart. Shows us his grasping for the heel of whomever he can find. And this goes on for 20 years. If this had been Jacob's conversion experience, God would have changed him. And let me remind you, if you haven't been changed, If you haven't been changed, you haven't been converted. Maybe living in, shall I say, sacred surroundings makes it easy to pretend, to be deceptive. And when you look at your own heart, what do you see? Do you see a changed heart? A heart that is different. A life that is different than what it was before you invited the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. Fifthly, you don't bargain with God. God knows what He's doing. You don't bargain with Him. As we've illustrated just a few moments ago, Lord, if You heal my child, my grandchild, then I'll serve You. Lord, if You take care of me, You bless me, I'll give a tithe to the Lord. I'll give as the Lord has prospered me. If You give me more, I'll give more to You. And we fail to do it. We don't bargain with God. Jacob bargained with God because he was a deceiver, a deceiving heart. He wanted to have what he wanted from God and give to God nothing. Now, Jacob had one encounter with God. You come back this evening, we'll give you the rest of the story. When Jacob has his second encounter with God. Father, thank You this morning for this opportunity to look into Your Word and to find truths there hidden in a very familiar story. Father, thank You that Your Holy Spirit has applied the Word to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.